And top of the muffin to you on this Monday, March 1st. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome into Morning Invest, the only live interactive morning show where we cover those progressive issues you will not see in the mainstream media. There's a lot of mainstream media stories today on the show we will talk about and how they are constantly letting you down. How many of you, just let me know in the chat below, how many of you have just stopped watching mainstream media? I'm talking CNN, MSNBC, Fox, any of those guys that are forcing a billionaire's narrative down your throat on a regular basis. I'd love to hear it. I get emails from you all the time that let me know, say, I don't watch that stuff anymore. Good. We're going to give you a number of examples today of this media bias you're going to love. So coming up on the show today, Trump returns. And the mainstream media just went wild. They were like, thank you. Ratings again. We've been missing those ratings. We need some craziness. We need some ratings. Crowd went wild. I'll tell you what the president said. Slammed a number of Democrats and Republicans. Will he run for office in 2024? Plus, stimulus moves forward in the Senate today. So what will get cut? When can you expect those stimulus checks? And watch the mainstream media fawn over this idea of bipartisanship, carrying the water for corporate executives that do not want you to have stimulus checks. Make no mistake about it. All of this line of questioning the mainstream media, like, where'd the bipartisanship go? Joe promised bipartisanship. Make no mistake what that's all about. That's about you not getting stimulus checks. And I'll explain. We're also going to talk about the push for Medicare for all in this country. Some heartbreaking stories about people having to, set up GoFundMes, try to raise thousands of dollars on their own in order to cover their medical costs. Because of no fault of their own, they don't have insurance. They got COVID while also having chemotherapy. We'll show you some of those heartbreaking stories on the show today. We'll get to all of that and more. Get in your super chats now. We'll get some questions answered at the end of today's show. Anything that's on your mind, finance, investing, stimulus, the economy, progressive issues, whatever's on your mind, let us know. Let us know. Today, I want to tell you about our first sponsor, our friends over at Manscaped. I love a company with a great sense of humor. They have their new performance package. And I got to tell you, we were moving recently and I couldn't find the box that contained my lawnmower. And I was really upset about it. And I couldn't wait to get it again. Now, David uses one as well, right? You love this thing, right?
I do. Were you just going to ask me where do I use it?
Yeah, no, I stopped myself. I stopped myself. This thing is fantastic. What's great about it is it's the best trimmer on the market for those of you that, that have you know those guys that got like a sweater for chest hair, You're like, wait, did you take off your shirt? No, that's hair. It's the new Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. It's cordless body trimmer, ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. You can use it in the shower if you want. Look, it's spring break time. You've got to start looking good out there. You're going to be wearing shorts soon. God forbid you're going to take off your shirt. Manscaped.
Yep, it's almost bikini. This is the company. It's almost banana hammock season.
Yes. You wear your Borat swimsuit, right? When you go to the beach?
Yes, the green one.
The
yes.
Yellow. Yeah, the green one. Yeah. So you can go as gentle or as, you can keep it at whatever length you want. Be sure to use their crop cleanser, which is a body wash. Keep your hair and skin feeling healthy as well. COVID spring break is right around the corner. And you know what that means? Spring break in your pants. Manscaped is here to ensure that the party in your pants never stops. For everyone preparing for a pants party this spring break, we have an exclusive 20% off discount. Use the code INVEST at manscaped.com. 20% off. Hey, and Father's Day is coming up in a few months. Invest. Use that code INVEST. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code INVEST at manscaped.com. That's a 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. And you're going to get their two free gifts. That's the Shed Travel Bag and their High Performance Manscaped Boxers, plus free shipping. All of that and their performance package, the perfect package for that loved one in your life. So our thanks to Manscaped for supporting this show. And I got to say, I love a company with a sense of humor. They've got a great sense of humor in all their marketing. And they support us. They support independent journalism here at Morning Invest. So, you know, they love our show and we love them for supporting the show. So thank you guys so much. To all those other sponsors that don't want to be a part of independent media, to keep funneling billions of dollars into CNN, fine, go and do it. But we support companies like them. So thank you so much. All right, let's talk stimulus now and your stimulus update on this Monday. A lot happening over the weekend, of course. Mainstream media continuing to carry the water for Republicans on the stimulus bill. And it's been amazing to watch CNN and other networks pushing this idea that, you know, Joe Biden is a maverick and he's going it alone on stimulus. Where's the bipartisanship you talked about? Now that the House of Representatives passed it with zero Republicans voted. I love this tweet, sums it up nicely. Every House Republican on Friday night just voted against $1,400 checks for you and your family. I mean, we'll let that sink in a moment. Even if there is pork in there, and yes, there is, like every bill that comes through Congress, Republican and Democrat, no $1,400 checks for you. So where is all this bipartisanship that you talked about? You know, President Biden, when he was running and when he was now president-elect, he wanted bipartisanship. He wanted to work with Republicans. Now you watch the mainstream media network, CNN particularly, carry that water, carry that talking point from Republicans, carry that talking point from their billionaire overlords. Because make no mistake about it, the reason they're asking this question is because they don't want you to get stimulus checks. They think it's bad for business. When the government's printing money and giving it out to poor people in America, that doesn't help them. So where was that bipartisanship they were talking about? The mainstream media has already made it abundantly clear that it doesn't care about you. They only care about big corporations, and they do not want the government spending money on getting you $1,400 stimulus checks. I mean, just look at some of the news headlines over the past few weeks, because the media has all fallen in line. Like, here's the Washington Post. Opinion. Why increasing those stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000 is a bad idea. Here's Bloomberg News. Biden's stimulus risks giving money to people who won't spend it.
You mean like
here's another Washington Post. Yeah, exactly. They're going to put it in, by the way, the idea of giving stimulus to billionaires, right? What's the idea? The idea is that it's going to do what? It's going to trickle down, right? It never does. We just keep funneling billions to these billionaires. So it's funny to watch all of these billionaire-run corporations, Jeff Bezos-run Washington Post, put out headlines like this. Cutting off stimulus checks to Americans earning over $75,000 could be wise, new data suggests. So again, the mainstream media, CNN and others, do not want you to receive $1,400 stimulus checks. It's bad for business for them. So if you're tuning into those shows and you wonder why they keep pushing this narrative, that is why. Biden's stimulus risks giving money to people who won't spend it. Heaven forbid you should put a little bit of money in savings to protect you against this government, which does not protect you. So CNN tried it again this weekend. They had Jen Psaki on. It's my favorite Japanese alcohol, by the way. Hot sake. So Jen Psaki was on CNN talking to Dana Bash, who was literally carrying a bucket of water of Republican talking points, trying to push Jen Psaki on the bipartisan issue. Let's listen to Jen Psaki.
So President Biden's sweeping $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package is now in the Senate, as you know. Cornerstone of this campaign that he ran, his presidential campaign, was bipartisan cooperation. He called it a mandate from the American people. He got zero Republican votes in the House. It looks like he may get zero in the Senate. Can you point to one concession that President Biden is making to this package to try to win Republican support?
Yeah, we need a concession. What is he conceding to? He won the presidency. They run the House and they just won the Senate. What concessions are they doing to get Republicans on board? You know, the Republicans who don't give a rat's behind about you. They care about big corporations and big money. By the way, that's at the heart of what the Democrats want, too, just to be clear. But what are you doing to give concessions to Republicans?
Well, first, I can say, Dan, I think there have been more Republicans in the House and Senate sitting in the Oval Office over the last month, having a discussion, having a debate at times with the president about what they want to see in this package, what we can work together on, than perhaps over the last 4 years. The president has been open to hearing good ideas from Republicans and Democrats on how to make it better. And at this point in time, though, what this proposal is going to address is how we're going to help people bridge through this period of time, get them direct checks, reopen schools, get more vaccines in the arms of Americans. We have not seen a substantive big proposal in response back from Republicans. This is the scope of the problem and the scope of the kind of package that we need to pass to address that.
That's not the kind of answer I was looking for. See it in Dana's face. She's like, it's not the answer I'm looking for. Those aren't the droids you're looking for. I'll try it again. Let me ask the question again. Why aren't you guys working with Republicans so that you don't get big stimulus checks? Something in the middle that only helps businesses, doesn't help poor people.
So he's definitely had discussions with Republicans, and he's heard their concerns. So is he open to actually acting on that and changing his proposal, changing the legislation to address those concerns?
Why? Why? What concerns do they have? The concerns of the Republicans are that we should not be spending any money on stimulus checks right now, that the economy, we still have money pumping into the economy from December, and that we just need to wait and see how that money, fares in the broader economy right now. What are you waiting for? We're not waiting for Republicans. We're not waiting on them to answer these questions.
He's been open from the beginning. There's been more targeting of the direct checks. He has not been willing to negotiate on the size of the checks, but there has been a targeting to ensure that it hits the Americans who need that help the most. That's an idea that has come up in meetings with Democrats and Republicans, and he's certainly open to hearing from their ideas. What he will not do, though, is make this a Washington political partisan issue and prevent the American people from getting the relief they need.
So this bill could change.
70% of the public wants this bill to pass.
So I'm hoping that you're telling me that this bill will change. Like, we need, this spending this money on poor people, that's got to change, right? You're telling me that this could change. Third time's a charm.
Well, it's going through the Senate process. As you know, this is democracy in action. We know that the bill will look different on the way out as it did when he presented it in his primetime address. But there is an urgency here, Dan, as you know, because by the middle of March, 11 million Americans will lose unemployment insurance. So we need to move quickly and rapidly to get this relief out.
Sorry, I didn't give you the answer you wanted. Republicans are fully focusing on the small portion of this bill that goes to buildings, roads, bridges, typical Washington pork stuff. So they're upset. They're upset that there's about, I don't know how many billions are going into this bill for building subways, fixing bridges. Look, the word of the day is sanctimonious, because every time Washington puts up a bill, there are always pork projects in it. Republicans, Democrats. It's hilarious, though, to watch when, the shoe is on the other foot, and they're suddenly, they cannot believe, they're shocked. They're shocked to see that gambling is going on here. I don't care if a bridge gets built. Most of the time, as Andrew Yang has long argued, I really like his assessment of that. He says, I don't care about pork stuff, because very often it goes to build a new museum, it goes to build a new bridge, it goes to fix a building. And you know what? If that means that we actually get some crap and we have to deal with that little bit of, like when you get a good steak, right? Sometimes you're just going to have a little fat on the side. And very often it's the fat that actually makes the whole steak better. So I agree with Andrew Yang in this idea that, we got to deal with some pork. We got to deal with some fat in order to get the bulk of this stimulus package through. That's how deals are made. And Republicans know this. But the sanctimony is thick. the air of sanctimony. So listen to Republicans over the past 24 hours just come out and hammer this idea that Democrats are just, you know, just loading this thing up with pork, and that's why they won't support $1,400 stimulus checks for you, the American people.
A $1.9 trillion package. I know you think it is too much money. There is a lot in here, though, that you do support. Direct payments to Americans, money for vaccinations. It appears it won't include a $15 minimum wage hike, which you opposed. Are you open to voting yes on that plan?
I have no clue how it'll come out of the Senate. Republicans have not been involved. I listened to Press Secretary Jen Psaki speaking about how we've been listened to. I started laughing. That is such a joke. You can find one
thing. I started laughing. That's how I laugh. I was sitting there and I started laughing. That's how I laugh. Oh, that was great.
Is that Harry Acting. Rollins?
It does look like him, right?
Perhaps where, oh my gosh, we will get criticized on that, so we'll adapt. But the reality is that they put forward a package which reflects the interest of the Democratic constituencies that elected the president.
The last time the Senate...
Shocking. And by the way, it has overwhelming support among the American people. 70% support the bill. So yes, they put forth a bill that supports the president of the United States, who just won the election. I know. Is that shocking?
Voted for a higher minimum wage. It was my first month in office. It was the first speech I gave on the Senate floor. It was so long ago that the presiding officer was a first-term Illinois senator by the name of Barack Obama. He was presiding over the Senate. That's how long ago this was. Since we've raised the minimum wage, the Republicans have failed to do it. We're going to raise wages. We're going to find a way to do it. I'm not going to negotiate on Meet the Press, as right. prestigious as this longest serving show, whatever it is.
I appreciate
but
it.
But we're going to make this
we'll
happen.
Host it.
We're going to find a way. It's just too important not to.
$480 million of the COVID relief bill, according to the CBO, would go to the arts, humanities, museums, libraries. Again, what is that?
So we're going to pull out, let's just be clear, we're going to pull out $480 out of the $1.9 trillion. To talk about it going to museums, you know, humanities, businesses, buildings that were also hammered during COVID that need to retrofit their buildings. So some of this stuff, you know, it's very easy for all of this media, the mainstream media, to jump on board of this and Republicans to sound the sanctimonious bell.
I guess
but this
is
how it plays out.
I mean, I guess the last bill got rid of the Asian carp because that did that make it in this time? Is there any? Are we being attacked by any carp this round?
I mean, I hope Asian carp are in there. It's a big deal. You know what's funny is you and I were making fun of the Asian carp being in the, you know, we need to get that in there. And people actually said, you know, David and Clayton, like the Asian carp epidemic, it's a big deal. Like people's livelihoods are being affected by Asian carp. Okay. I learned my lesson on Asian carp, you know, invading our waterways. But this is the conservative talking point of the weekend. You know, man, there's a few million dollars in here. Again, I don't want this sticker on my hand. I don't want them throwing in all kinds of miscellaneous pork items. I'm never a fan of that. But again, the Andrew Yang point is that if we have to deal with a few of these things in this ridiculous Congress that doesn't often work, but the bulk of it comes out and helps the American people and helps us get through this, fine. Give me an Asian carp battling plan. Give me a bridge. You know, build an airport. I don't care at this point. The amount of money that we spend on garbage in the United States, $800 billion a year, so defense contractors and big businesses can have their pockets lined. Yeah, I don't care. Give me a bridge. Give me a bridge. That means that the most of the American people can be helped. Fine. Give it to me.
Have to do with emergency COVID relief and getting kids back into school this year.
Well, first of all, the 90% of this package goes to address the twin crises we're facing right now, Chris, which is getting the pandemic under control and helping the American people go back to work, helping them get the relief they need to get through this period of time. Schools are like businesses, Chris. They need to budgetary plan over a period of time. Some have to front load changes, whether it's to their facilities or ensuring that if they have to hire additional teachers or bus drivers at this point in time
to ensure they can do safe social distancing. John, do we need to pay for bridges? Does that have anything to do with COVID? Do we need to pay for tunnels for Silicon Valley? Does that do anything? I mean, if you look at what they're doing, if we're focused on COVID, let's take care of the people who have lost their job. Let's help our businesses. Let's make sure we have plenty of tests and make sure we have plenty of vaccine. Get that out quickly. But this radical left stuff that we're giving money to states when their revenues have not even gone down, and we've already given them $400 billion, and we don't even know how much has not been spent. I mean, we have $27 trillion worth of debt in this country. Let's spend the money where we need to spend the money, but stop wasting money. Interest rates are going up. Inflation is starting to kick in. We're going to hurt the poorest families in this country if we're not careful. So,
yeah, we are going to hurt the poorest families in this country. Well said, Rick Scott. Well, where have you been? Heaven forbid we should hurt the poorest families in this country. Haven't they already been shafted? What are you talking about? When you talk about interest rates going up and inflation, who are you talking about? You're talking about Wall Street getting hurt. That's what you're talking about. Make no mistake about it. And you're starting to see this now in the mainstream media. All you have to do is just watch over the past 4 days. I've been watching these different headlines and watch CNBC, watch Bloomberg News. The new talking point from Republicans and from those who don't want you to have stimulus is that, oh, look, the economy. Uh-oh, inflation. It's going to start to hit Wall Street. Uh-oh, what's happening here? Maybe we should pull back on this stimulus. I don't know. You know, Wall Street's starting to get nervous now. Oh no, Wall Street. Yeah, we're going to screw the little guy. We're going to screw the poorest families. Okay.
One of the first to see what all that stimulus may be doing to our economy is Ruchir Sharma, Morgan Stanley Investment Management Chief Global Strategist and author of 10 Rules of Successful Nations.
Oh, he's from Morgan Stanley. Oh, okay. Okay. And he's worried about what that extra stimulus is going to do to the economy. All that extra stimulus money in the economy. Yeah. Well, we have three different incidents. We have, a bunch of different experiences now with when that money actually got into the economy. It helped business. It helped keep people out of poverty. So imagine what $1,400 is going to do. But I love the sanctimonious nature of these Republicans and Democrats, by the way, who only want money being funneled to Wall Street. But when it comes to getting you minimum wage increase or stimulus checks, oh, now we got to, you know, now we got to worry about this debt. And we also got to worry about these pork projects that are in here. You want me to go through line by line all the Republican pork projects that were in the last bill under Trump? Or what about the one in the spring? How much pork went to Wall Street? Yeah, what about Ted Cruz? You know, he doesn't support any new stimulus checks for you, but he certainly supported the first round of stimulus back in the spring. You know why? Because his big oil and gas buddies and fracking buddies in Texas got lots of money that he personally saw to getting it in the bill. And the billions of dollars in profits that they raked in during the pandemic, and yet they got stimulus money? Again, sanctimonious. Your word of the day. So what's next? Well, the Senate is next, and that's where things are headed today. Mitch McConnell vowing to basically not do anything, stand with his turtle head, keeping his entire caucus from doing anything meaningful on the Senate. Here's Senator Turtle Boy Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, so that's what I said.
They're going to try to muscle this through on a totally partisan basis, and I think I can safely speak for most of my members.
Because I've told them what to say anyway, so I can speak for them because I already told them what to say.
That we think this is dramatically more money than is required at this particular juncture. It also includes a number of things that have absolutely nothing to do with COVID relief. And so it will be controversial.
It's controversial. It has tons of things that are absolutely unrelated to COVID. Unrelated, totally. And that's what you're most upset about? Right. The, like, 0.1% of this bill is what you're upset about? Why don't you just tell the truth?
We are on track to get this bill done and get it on the president's desk before the expiration of the enhanced unemployment benefits, which is March 14th. We're going to meet that deadline.
All right. So that's next, March 14th. So Democrats right now are in committee. This thing is likely to be torn apart. We don't know exactly how it's going to come together. Whether, you know, what I know you guys have some specific questions on this, like SSDI, how will that shake out? I can tell you where we are right now on who qualifies, though. Right now, at least according to the House version, $1,400 for people making up to $75,000, up for married couples, $150,000, plus $1,400 for each dependent in the family. Those on Social Security benefits, Social Security disability benefits, of course, you would likely get your checks first, as you already have your information on file with the IRS and with the federal government, so that would happen quickly. And then, of course, the other big question is about whether or not what the unemployment benefits, that would be increased to $400 per week through the end of August. We'll see if the Senate manages to extend that until the end of September. It's unclear. We'll see if any progressives, you know, we'll see if Bernie Sanders or Ed Markey want to stand up and do something big and bold, maybe to hold this thing up in order to cram in some additional measures. Again, the biggest question, though, is on this minimum wage. The Senate parliamentarian has already ruled on that. So will there be another end around to try to get this increased? Will we see another bill? Will that be a part of the infrastructure bill later on? It's unclear at this point. So $15 an hour minimum wage, nothing, nada right now. It's in there. Nancy Pelosi passed it as part of the House bill, but the Senate parliamentarian has already said no. So, you know, will President Biden stand up and overrule the parliamentarian? Doesn't seem likely. Will they fire the parliamentarian? Doesn't seem likely. But sadly, this is the situation. And, you know, if they can't pass this now, as Bernie Sanders said the other day, the $15 an hour minimum wage increase, he said the only way we're going to pass this is through the reconciliation process. So kiss it goodbye. That means the minimum wage is still going to be stuck at $7.25 an hour. Unless he can get, through the budget committee, a forcing of the hand of companies that either you increase your minimum wage or we're going to increase taxes on you. That could work. But it would be nice to actually have a federal standard for minimum wage rather than having this sort of piecemeal approach. So right now we're worried about really protecting the government, the American dollar. That's what we keep hearing from Wall Street. That's what we keep hearing from the mainstream media, that we are worried about protecting the American dollar because of inflation. Zombie companies, we need to pull back on this stimulus. Let me know in the chat. Do you think we need to pull back on stimulus? Are you worried about the devaluing of the U.S. dollar? It's already been happening, folks. Suddenly now we're aware of the dollar. By the way, I've been telling you to get your money out of the U.S. dollar for a long time. Anybody who's watched my show now for more than a year, you know that I've been repeatedly saying, if you have your money tied to the U.S. currency, tied to the U.S. dollar, it's time to get away from it. That's why we're seeing the rise of crypto. That's why we're seeing them, you know, today. In fact, Google just today announced, added crypto to their Google Finance page. So now you can click on cryptocurrency just like you can the rest of the markets. I mean, the people's currency is coming. It's marching very strong. And this is the future. So we need to cry about the diminishment of the fiat currency in the U.S. dollar? I don't care. That's been happening for a long time. It's propped up by what? Air anyway. The government prints money. It's made up. It's fake. It's phony. But what we're really talking about here for the mainstream media is being concerned about Wall Street. We should all shed some tears this morning for Wall Street. So if you hear the mainstream media saying why, you know, we need more bipartisanship, we shouldn't probably give you large stimulus checks, you know, we can't afford it right now, I'm worried about inflation. All it is them being concerned about billionaires. That's it. That's it. Make no mistake about it. We've got more news to get to today. We're going to talk about President Trump's speech last night. Will he run for president in 2024? He dropped some bombs last night. Plus, we'll talk about Medicare for All in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at IP Vanish. You know, when you're browsing the web, there is zero reason that you should be worried about people snooping on you. Think about all the times you're doing banking or anything like that online. You're at a Wi-Fi hotspot. You're at a coffee shop. You have some banking to do. You've sent an email to friends. That's why you need a strong VPN. And that's what IP Vanish is. It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computer, tablet, phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. You know, maybe your country doesn't have access to Disney Plus, you know, and you'd like to watch The Mandalorian. Well, that's where IP Vanish comes in. So your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is that you're doing. IP Vanish is just $3.49 a month or $27 for the year. You can help protect your online privacy and security. Anonymous IP addresses. This means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. Circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. So get protection when you need it most. Go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. Claim 65% savings. Yeah, that's right. 65% off just by using that link, ipvanish.com/morninginvest, to get the deal. It's time to sign up. They're rated by Trustpilot 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's with more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love. They support our show. It's ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get that deal. So our thanks to them for supporting independent journalism and not the mainstream media. Well, the mainstream media last night sure did miss Donald Trump. How many of you, show of hands, tuned in last night? Or you were planning to do something else, and suddenly your network that you were watching tuned in to CPAC. CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference. So you could see their leader. Dear leader, President Trump is back. Literally, news channels last night cut away from programming to run the former president's best hits. The speech included all the things that we've come to expect from the president. He mentioned, you know, the election was fraudulent, 2020 election claims. He talked about Mexican immigrants. He took a lot of shots at President Biden's mental capacity. He also took tons of credit for grabbing for the COVID vaccine, getting that up and running, Operation Warp Speed. And then he talks about the current administration's foreign policy, including starting new wars rather than ending them. Legitimate arguments there. You want to talk about bombing Syria? Great. But the way he started off last night was really like, get rid of them all. That was President Trump last night in Orlando, standing under a banner that said, America uncanceled. He also called out every Republican who voted to impeach and convict him. And he urged voters to dump them in the next election cycle. Well, we're going to hear from one of them, Representative Adam Kinzinger, was one of the people that voted to, he's a Republican, he voted to impeach him. Trump said that his fight for the Republican Party and its values is not over. And he also floated the idea of running for president again in 4 years. And he totally rejected the notion that he would do so under a new political party. He called that all fake news. Here's President Trump last night, lashing out at Republicans, Democrats, and talking about a possible run in 2024.
Then his number one duty as chief executive, enforcing America's laws. This alone should be reason enough for Democrats to suffer withering losses in the midterms and to lose the White House decisively 4 years from now. Actually, as you know, they just lost the White House, but it's one of those things. But who knows? Who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time, okay? For a third time. We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. Fake news, no. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win. No, we're not interested in that. Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history. That's true. Already, the Biden administration has proven that they are anti-jobs, anti-family, anti-borders, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science.
Wow. Anti-science. Anti-energy. Anti-women, by the way, if you caught that. But at Representative Adam Kinzinger was asked about this because, you know, right, you have Mitch McConnell, who like 2 weeks ago was slamming President Trump, saying he was responsible for the insurrection at the Capitol, that he's been, you know, terrible for the Republican Party. And then like a few days later, he's like, you know, yeah, you know, if he runs again in 2024, I'll support him. Yeah, if he's the nominee of our party, yeah, I'll support him. Representative Adam Kinzinger was asked about this last night. He didn't have as favorable a response to this.
Joining us now is a Republican lawmaker not speaking at CPAC. Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois is one of the few Republican Congress members to vote for impeachment. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about what's happening at CPAC this weekend?
Well, so I always said, well, we have a choice as a party. It's like a Sunday morning hangover. We can come to grips with what our life's become, or we can start drinking Bloody Marys and deal with it later. And, you know, there are some that are choosing that route. That's what CPAC is. It's always been an eclectic group, but, you know, it's trying to solidify the conservative movement as Donald Trump's movement, which is ironic because Donald Trump is quite honestly one of the furthest things from a conservative. So it'll be interesting to see what he says.
Well, let me read you something from his prepared remarks that includes this line. Quote, the Republican Party is united. The only division is between a handful of Washington, D.C. establishment political hacks and everybody else all over the country. Congressman, what say you?
Well, I think he's wrong. First off, you know, I don't think the party is united. And I don't think it's just a handful of quote unquote establishment hacks. It's a lot of people. When I launched this Country First movement, just country1st.com, we heard from so many people that are disaffected Republicans that were thinking of leaving or have left or just say it's time to move on. And we hear that from independents as well as some Democrats who just want a functioning Republican Party. So I think if you're looking at the narrow, shrinking base of the Republican Party, that's one thing. If you look at all Americans as the people we need to talk to, then I certainly don't think we're united.
So that's the future of the Republican Party. You know, there are some positives this morning, though. The president yesterday, to talk about some positive news, the president yesterday slammed President Biden. President Trump slammed President Biden for the disastrous first month of his presidency. Let's talk about the vaccine rollout, which has been exploding under President Biden. We just got the approval of Johnson & Johnson yesterday for a single dose vaccine. So if you're on board with that, great news. Dr. Fauci says there are a number of opportunities now. Just basically take whatever vaccine is available to you if you want to get a vaccine. So the rollout had been a disaster at the beginning, and it turns out President Biden's team has been able to at least fast track and make that a priority. And they're exceeding their plan to get the number of vaccines out. So again, that number is coming from the White House and how many of those doses have been able to get out to the public. And they claim that when they got in there, it was a disaster. That yes, President Trump did a great job on the Operation Warp Speed side of it, which was actually development of the vaccine. But the actual rollout was a disaster, according to President Biden. So some positive news there. Let's talk about Medicare for All. You know, an area that I see some positivity here on the Medicare for All side, because progressives have been gaining traction. If you would have asked us like 10 years ago, would we have a healthcare system that would take care of the American people? Would we have something in place like Europe, like other parts of the world, that actually take care of its people instead of acting like a third world country? I would have said, I don't think so. There's too much at stake for the big lobbying healthcare industry that makes so much money, trillions of dollars on the backs of this effort to keep you from having a Medicare for All program. So the question this morning is, well, will President Biden embrace Medicare for all, or will he fold? And maybe it's not going to happen immediately, but he could shift positions on this. I mean, think about that. Think about the push for gay Americans under President Obama. It didn't start off strong. If you would have asked me, hey, during President Biden's term, will we see protections for gay Americans, the ability for them to wed? I said, I don't know. I don't know. Like, that actually happened throughout the course of the presidency. There was an evolution there. So will President Biden come around on this? Will progressives push him enough? We've had enough pandemic in the pandemic that's brought our healthcare system to its knees. We've seen it now. You know, many, many people have suffered as a consequence of how our healthcare system is constructed. Meanwhile, a year into this thing right now, global COVID-19 pandemic, the inequalities at the heart of the market-driven healthcare system have never been more apparent. You know, and no single policy right now is better equipped to combat all of them than Medicare for All. It polls very well, over 70% of Americans. You know, when voters are asked about what you do, like, do you want a system that takes care of its people? Like, let me know in the chat right now. How many of you want a system that takes care of its people? Tell me about your medical bills. Like, have you guys had a procedure? How much are you paying per month just for prescription drugs? Do you want Medicare for All? If you ask people that question, the answer in the polls is overwhelmingly yes. But then when you ask the question a different way and you tell them that, oh, they're going to have to pay higher taxes. If you throw higher taxes into the mix, then guess what happens in the polling? Goes down, right? Then it starts to fall. Well, of course it does. Because we've been brainwashed in this country into thinking higher taxes takes more money out of our pockets. Now, in some ways, that's true. But remember, all of the things you won't have to now pay for when you have Medicare or free public college. All of those things are now covered. So now, in many ways, yes, it seems like you're paying more from taxes, but it's all the things you're not spending money on. So it turns out if you actually frame the question like that, then people are willing to pay higher taxes, but they've been brainwashed by the mainstream media. That's one big corporate party. Nonetheless, right now, the path forward for any robust reform is a huge pain in the butt. It's going to be a lot of problems. Moderate congressional Democrats opposed Medicare for All. Like, you've got the Joe Manchins of the world that don't want it. They still outnumber those in favor of it. So President Biden is on their side. He's on the moderate side where he's not really in favor of it, which is stunning to me. I guess I shouldn't be surprised at all. Republicans are also hugely hostile towards any big program, and they're going to certainly vote to continue, and they'll filibuster any Democratic legislation that they want. But the biggest enemy right now, make no mistake about it, it's not Republicans. It's the American healthcare sector. I mean, just look at these numbers, $3.8 trillion. That's how much the American healthcare sector, who's been lobbying nonstop, their entire lobbying arm and their business models would be fundamentally shuttered if we replaced private health insurance with one public insurance pool. Think about it. $3.9 trillion, that's what that industry makes. That's why they spend millions of dollars putting on television commercials for medicines in the United States. You don't see that in other countries. A commercial for medicine? So they can attract you to buy? I mean, that's ridiculous. But the time is right now. You know, like a story this morning, that one of the stories we featured on the morning newsletter, this poor girl, this Alabama girl, she's become a poster child for like outrage against the American health insurance because she is selling lemonade to pay for her brain surgery. Doctors discovered that Liza has had three severe malformations in her brain that caused seizures. Her single mother had to buy supplemental health insurance to pay for the extensive care that Liza now needs. But the medical bill is not half of what the family will have to bear. They will have to travel to Boston from their home in Alabama to get the medical care. They have to find childcare for Lisa's three-year-old brother, take time away from work and school, and all of those expenses add up. I mean, this is part of the system. This is what we're dealing with in the United States. You know, let me know in the chat, like, what are you guys dealing with? Here's a woman who has no insurance. She just got her medical bill, okay? She got COVID, and she's also on chemo. This woman got her medical bill, $34,000. Sorry, the audio here screwed up. Just give me one second.
Worked in healthcare for my whole life. I always have told people that you, when you're sick, you should never think about the cost of healthcare. Doctors I know are not thinking about how much the cost of care is that they're giving, and patients should not be thinking about the cost of the care that they're getting. And certainly not in this moment, and not with something that could be deadly. So I wasn't thinking about the cost at the time. What I was thinking was I was really concerned that I might die.
Yeah, that's what you should be thinking about. Not being worried about the medical costs. That have a government that can spend billions on bombs, but can't take care of its people? That's the United States.
Chemotherapy and radiation for lymphoma, which is a cancer of the white blood cells. So I had Medicaid, but my husband had accepted a job offer. We were getting ready to move to DC, and I had unenrolled in Medicaid when my husband signed for his job and signed up for his health insurance, because that's what the law requires. And, you know, I just happened to be uncovered at the exact moment that I got sick.
Now she has a medical bill of $34,000. I mean, other countries just are shocked at the amount of money that we spend on this system. And it's disgusting. But the good news is that there's growing support in Congress, and the momentum for Medicare for All is building. Now you've got over 100 co-sponsors in Congress pushing for this change. And these are the types of things, you know, as a show, I think are important for us to cover. Because when you have an opportunity to vote for somebody next time, and if they support Medicare for All, that's a person you should get behind. You know, getting behind someone who can support a system that takes care of its people. These are the progressive issues that are important. And I hope, you know, I hope we can find more and more candidates like this who can push for these changes in the United States. But the fact that a 7-year-old girl has to set up a lemonade stand in order to make money to pay for brain surgery. I mean, I see stories from you all the time from individuals who say, you know, I'm going to lose my house because I've got medical bills, can't pay my rent because of medical bills. And then for, you know, and then for anybody in Congress to sort of sit back and think that you don't need stimulus checks, you don't need rental assistance, coverage to make sure you don't lose your home. And you've had these I saw some horrible, one of you guys sent me an email the other night with this horrible video of this woman on TikTok. She was just talking about her mounting medical bills, and she doesn't know, like, she's literally at her wit's end. She doesn't know what to do. She's just crying, and she's going to have to sit, like, lose her apartment, and she's going to have to declare bankruptcy. And this is happening all too often. And yet that system that is around this continues to just make bank. I mean, this year, medical system, if you were invested in medical stocks this year, man, you did great. That whole industry is just doing phenomenal. But people have to set up a lemonade stand to pay for brain surgery. Yeah, they don't care, Brenda says. Autumn Richards says, this topic makes me equally sad and sick. Yeah. The good news is with this little girl is that, you know, because even Bernie Sanders got behind it and so forth, so that family been able to raise quite a bit of money now to help pay for it. But that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't have to happen, you know, because these are sort of anecdotal, you know, scenarios. And we all get excited because people, the American spirit, I love like these stories, like the American spirit got behind this girl. They set up a GoFundMe to help this person. We shouldn't have to set up GoFundMe accounts to help people. It's ridiculous. That's not something we need to be doing. Like, it's great. I feel wonderful that, you know, that's the inclination of Americans to want to help other people, is to want to, because their government's not helping them. The government is, you know, busy lining the pockets of billionaires in a system that doesn't work for you. You know, I love this guy who was talking about the reason we shouldn't have stimulus. And he was interviewed on CNBC. Was it Bloomberg? I don't know. One of those channels. One of those money channels. And he's like, you know, we got to worry about these companies, not you. We have too much stimulus in the system.
It's the health of our free enterprise system itself may be at issue.
Oh, no.
I think the big issue here is this, David, which is that capitalism, I think, is being undermined when you keep on doing these kind of interventions. So therefore, what you see here is a zombification of capitalism in a way. And there's one statistic which highlights this. The number of zombie companies, let's say in the United States today, is 20%. Which means 20% of all listed companies in the United States have not earned enough profit to cover their interest expense for 3 years in a row.
Yeah. So maybe it is that the capitalism structure doesn't work. We've talked about this on the show before, that the number of companies and their amount of corporate debt is overwhelming. Maybe your government structure, your capitalism structure is not working, because how's it working for the poorest among us? So you're blaming stimulus for keeping people poor? Like, this is Wall Street. This is this, you know, this is the billionaire mentality. Just shut up, take your stimulus checks. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me about your $34,000 medical bill. Okay. Just take your medicine and go away. Let's open up some super chats, kick on some music, turn it to a positive note, shall we?
Indeed.
As much as we can. Susan Wacker. Yeah. Susan Wacker says it costs $1,000 for my granddaughter to get 5 stitches. Jesus. Come on. See, LB says, thank you for your super chat. Studio's looking good, Clayton. Thank you so much, LB. Trying to. A new word of the day, Sunshine Speaks says, is zombification. Yeah. Electric Revolution says, I watch your show every day. Thanks for the great reporting.
We also got several Trish new members today. Kansas. Thanks for all you new members that signed up.
Shout them out. Shout them out. Who are our new members?
We
new
got
channel
Willie
members.
Rose,
thank you so much.
Patricia Wing, Mark Phillips, Melissa L, Laverta Summers, Twisted Toxic, Emilio Perez. And that's all I'm showing. There's more, but...
You can become a channel member pretty easily and support independent journalism by going to morninginvest.com/join. It allows you to become a YouTube channel member specifically. So if you're watching us on Twitch or Facebook, that's where it'll take you. But, yeah. Grover is in the chat today. He's hanging out. He's running around somewhere. Play some. I still have not set up the new Grover cam, but here he is. Here's some file footage of the old Grover cam. He's been coming up here a little bit. I have the heater now set up, so he's been hanging out a little bit. But I think there's just too much activity downstairs, the kids running around. So he's just like, I need to be where the action is.
Yeah, he can't miss out on it.
Yeah. Amy Perkins says hi from southeastern Ohio, and the new studio should be named Grover's Playground or MI Studios. MI Studios. We're actually thinking that, you know, as we're putting up the M and I back here for invest. I.
Yeah, if those things were switched, you'd have it. If those were upside down.
Yeah.
Jody Nicholson, is the extra $200 a month for a year starting this month for SSI SSDI? I heard that on a YouTube channel.
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, remember, the Senate is going to redline this thing this week. So we will not have a final bill until maybe the end of this week, hopefully, or early next week. So I don't want to speculate as to what some YouTuber said. The fact of the matter is, there is no final bill. And until that bill goes back to the House, okay, it has to go through the Senate first, Then it has to go to the House of Representatives to be finalized. So we don't know. All of this is subject to change. Just to be clear on that. Bernie's Loft. Terry Dupler says, I have a suggestion for the name of your new studio. How about naming it Bernie? Bernie's Loft.
Got Dark Matter Wolf, Rachel. And Jay, two new members again.
Oh, sweet. Rachel Condon says, some of that pork in those pork projects will also go to bring jobs. Yeah, when someone builds a new subway, when someone builds a new bridge, guess what? People get jobs as a result of that. So I don't know. Where do you guys come down on the Andrew Yang point on that? I, you know, it's not an original idea, but it's... I always used to think, well, oh, this pork... But it's been a part of the process for as long as bills have been flowing through Congress. It's just how it goes. And if we get a few pork projects that end up actually, you know, building a new bridge, building a new museum, building a new park, but we also get $1.8 trillion that help people for what's needed, fine, I'll take the park. Because again, the sanctimonious nature of these Republicans that want to come out and say, we can't waste money like that. Oh yeah, did you see your defense budget that you universally passed a few weeks ago? You're okay with that thing? You're okay with building a new base in Syria? Don't lecture me about a new museum. Oh, we can't have things that support culture in the United States, a new humanities building, a new museum, a new child center, a new kids after school center in Chicago or something. But you're okay with bombing people in the Middle East. Just to be clear where your priorities are.
Eden Glover, $4.99. Thank you for the super chat. March is Kidney Disease Awareness Month. 90% of people in the U.S. don't know they have it. Get tested.
Thank you, Eden. Barbara Waite says the question we need. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Barbara Waite says the question we need to ask ourselves if we believe access to medical care is a basic human right or a privilege for only those who can pay for it. Yeah.
Well, it's a basic human right when our government wants to overthrow another government.
Good point. Right. When we want to criticize other countries because that particular country is not taking care of its people, then they use that as an argument.
Venezuela's blocking food. They're blocking basic human rights. They're not taking care of their people.
Right. Oh, have you seen our food bank lines in the United States? We need to swoop in and stop Venezuela. They're not getting them. The people of Venezuela don't have access to medical care. Sound familiar?
Rolinda Oliver, $5. What do you think about invest for land?
Investing in land? You know, land is never going away. It's one of those assets like real estate, like gold, and frankly, like Bitcoin, you know? For 4,000 years, investing in land, investing in real estate, investing in gold and silver and precious metals has been stable. You know, it's been, you know, they're not building new land. So when you invest in something like that, you just have to be smart about what you use it for. You know, just buying random plots of land that you're not going to do anything with, or you're going to sit on those plots of land. I have to tell you, though, if you own land, one of the first things that people default on during a downturn is raw land, because there's no structure on it. So you just need to be careful. Like, if you're investing in raw land for the purposes of leasing it out to, you know, like a mobile home park or tiny home, you know, people that want to put tiny home there and go hunting. I know some people that buy raw land and they lease it out for people that want to do it as hunting land or pheasant hunting and things like that in Texas. Or you're buying it because you see that, hey, subdivisions are being built nearby and it's a smart play for you to hold on to it. I've bought and sold raw land quite a bit. I've done deals in North Carolina and other states where I bought raw land and I've, you know, made a little bit of money. But I think you're much better off right now buying investing in real estate if you're going to go that route, because we have an affordable housing crisis in the United States. And we need property. We need houses for people to live. So I think investing in real estate is a smarter play. If you're interested in investing in real estate, I have a whole separate YouTube channel just on how to invest in real estate. I'll link it up in the description below, but it's youtube.com/MorrisInvest, my last name, Morris. And we have videos specifically on real estate investing over on that channel if you want to check it out.
Yolanda said,
it's hyper-focused.
Yolanda said one of the YouTubers she watched mentioned you and Grover this morning.
Oh, that's nice. Was it nice?
We have two new members, Shame on Me and Kozar Tal. Welcome to the Morning Invest family.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Yolanda, I hope it was nice what they said. But I've got thick skin. If someone's mean, that's fine too.
I mean, how could you say something negative about Grover? You know what I mean?
Right. You can say mean things about me if you want. That's fine. Don't say anything about this guy.
Evening Sky, new member. Welcome.
Good evening. Good morning. Jacqueline Junot says, I would like to begin a business with tiny houses. I'm hoping that I can find people to purchase land and create tiny house developments. You know, a good website for buying raw land, that's a land, it's a website I've used over the years, is called landandfarm.com. Check that out if you're interested in picking up tracts of land. It's very easy to do. You can literally be buying a property with it by the end of the week. Things to look out for when you're buying raw land are making sure that it has access to electricity and infrastructure. So a lot of mistakes that people make by buying raw land is they don't realize that, you know, they're buying it where there's no sewer lines nearby, there's no electricity nearby. All of those additional things are costs. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to put in septic tanks? You got to really make sure that you've got infrastructure nearby when you're investing in raw land. Chris wants to know, Clayton, is the stripper pole going in near in Grover's Corner? Yes. Back in there. All right, I think we got... Thank you, Sherry. That's so nice. Oh, Yolanda said, no, it wasn't nice what they were saying about me. Oh, well, that's too bad.
Patricia Danko, thank you for the $2 Thanks. Super chat. And Esmeralda Dio Cares, $4.99. Thank you. Gina Brown with a $5 super chat. Will the new child care credit be in new stimulus bill for the $3,600, or is this just hearsay?
Again, that's part of the plan. Yes, that's part of the House passed bill. So if the child tax credit can stay a part of it, that's, you know, we're hoping that it will in the Senate, then it goes back to the House. But the child tax credit is a huge piece of this, and it's one of President Biden's biggest pieces of support that you have from President Biden is the child tax credit. Child poverty is a big question, you know, big issue for him, and of course Bernie Sanders. So that's a huge part of this bill going forward. Thank you, Brooke says, I can't listen to any other show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No, I mean, let me give you here's something that'll happen on YouTube a lot. David, you can speak to this, but if you've got a small channel, it helps you to use the name of bigger YouTubers and pick on them and put their names in your titles and things like that. It's called clout chasing, yeah. Right? Where it's a famous thing. I mean, it's, and what they'll do is once they get to a certain level, then they abandon that tactic, right? So they'll build up their channel by just picking on other YouTubers and putting their names in their titles, you know? And I've seen it time and time again, and that's how they do it, you know? And so that's a, you know, it's a great strategy. If you want to build your YouTube channel on the backs of somebody else, like that's kind of how it works. So, but you never see like big YouTube channels doing it to small YouTube. Like, it's kind of funny how that works. Like, if you're small and you're trying to do it, you do it up. You try to bring other people down.
We got Ryan Cook, new member. Thank you for signing up, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. Yes, Elizabeth. So our new studio is coming together. Slowly, yeah. So we got the new lights, other stuff coming in. We've got monitors coming, different lights. So it's coming together slowly but surely. New sound panels should be here in a few days. And so, yeah, really excited about that. So thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. I really appreciate it. Do not forget to subscribe to our daily newsletter. You can receive it first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. Go to morninginvest.com. Enter your email address right there. And then you will receive an email confirmation from us. And then you will receive our newsletter first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. We've got a whole lot of good stuff planned here on the channel, and spent the weekend strategizing and moving in a new direction. So I'm excited about how we can ramp things up in the next few weeks. So much love to all of you. We will see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Grover says, leave me alone. I'm gonna go back to sleep.